Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your heart for the brokenhearted.
Hi, welcome to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, and I'm so happy to be with you. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. Oh, I tell you what, I had a busy, busy weekend. Let me see if I can recap just a few of the things. On Friday night, we had an Austin Faith and Family magazine. It's actually for their new magazine called Bell County Faith and Family Magazine. We had a photo shoot with about 16 children. Oh my goodness, there are some pictures when I saw them. I thought they're pretty funny that I'm looking one way because there's like three kids running one direction. I'm trying to get them to come back. So a lot of really funny outtakes, and I might want to put them on Facebook. And then you've got kids making faces, got kids jockeying for position because they want to be on the ball because they had a big ball in the middle of the picture. It was hilarious. And then we had a couple of two-year-olds that just wanted to run off and do their own thing. That would be Donovan and Jalen. So, I tell you what, professional photographers, especially with a group of children, they work hard. And so finally I realized, you know what, not everybody's going to be smiling. Not everybody's going to be facing the right way. And we're not even going to bother like photoshopping. It doesn't matter. It's real life. I mean, don't you guys want to see like real pictures instead of all these Photoshop pictures? Because I know like some magazines, they put a face from a different picture on the, you know, on the body and this and that. You know what? We're just going with the real pictures, and you'll get to see how real and precious and beautiful our kids are. So we had kids from the ages of 2 to 18 with us. Some of my kids were in there, but then also there's Joseph and Casey. I talked about them recently, been talking about them on the show, and Casey and Joseph were in our family as foster children. Now Casey works full time. She's 18, works full time with Family Link. So you may have the opportunity to talk to her if you call into our office. And then Joseph also stays with us part time, sometimes full time. And so they're featured in the magazine. That's really cool. And then some other wonderful foster children who are in the process of being adopted. And by the way, we did get permission for them to be in the magazine. And then we had some kids, you know, at my house that they didn't get permission to be in the magazine, but they're part of this family, foster family. And so we took some special pictures of them just so that at least they could have them and they could be kind of their private pictures. But, you know, as I was looking at these wonderful children, I just thought, some people would be scared off by these kids, just hearing their stories. And yet I was with them and I can tell you just how wonderful they are, how precious. One of them, one of the groups are 11, 14, and 4. And so when we called this foster family about these kids, this was the last resort. They were going to be separated. And so this family, though, they weren't even thinking about taking teenagers. In fact, they're pretty sure they didn't want to. But when they heard that they were going to be separated, they were like, okay, we don't want them to be separated. I remember being that age, is what the mom said. I remember being that 14. Oh, I can't imagine if I didn't have a home. Okay, so they were some of the ones that got to come and spend time with us. And then we babysat 8 foster children till about 11:30 at night. That was exciting. And these older, the 11 and 14-year-old girls began to open up to me. And it was so neat to see them blossom because they're really shy. And they were like, are we going to take another picture? And I said, well, do you want to? And they're like, yeah. So they had their hair all done. And I just thought, you know, teenagers get such a bad rap. Now, I have a number of them in my own home, so I kind of understand why. But it doesn't matter. They're important. They need a family. And it was really neat to see these kids interacting with their foster parents. And, you know, one of the girls said, because she may be in the process of being reunited with their family. So one of the girls told me, she said, I'm just nervous. I'm just scared. I just, you know, part of me wants to go home, but then the other part is really scared that it's going to be like it was before. And, you know, can't you imagine if you're old enough to understand, you know, you want to be with your biological family. A lot of kids do. But then they're also really scared. They want to believe that things have changed, but what if they hadn't? But with this particular sibling group, the sibling group of three I'm talking about, if they are reunited with their biological family, our foster family and Family Link will not abandon them. We've been developing relationships with this biological mom. We will support her. We will support these kids. The foster mom has said, you know, I'll still help you get to your science camps and all the things that you're really interested in doing. Isn't that incredible? That's the kind of people we're looking for, those that will go the extra mile, not be a martyr and say, well, I'm going to sacrifice and be a foster adoptive parent because God does say true religion is caring for orphans. Believe it or not, I've had a few people with that attitude in my training classes, and I let them know right away, guess what? It is a privilege to be a foster or adoptive parent. Is it our responsibility as Christians to welcome those children who need us? Yes, it is, either through foster care and adoption. But don't do it with a martyr attitude. If you're not so excited, if you're not full of joy about this opportunity to love these children, to minister to them, to provide a healing, safe home, then don't do it. And so we try to weed people out. We're like, if you don't have the right attitude, if you're not going to be full of joy and grace and see these children through God's eyes, not having a martyr attitude, don't do it at all. You can help in other ways. Those of you who might have a martyr attitude, you can donate. Might even be able to volunteer, but I'm not sure about the volunteering part. But you get what I mean? We're looking for people, not perfect people, but people who are on a journey. People who are on a journey to partner with Family Link and to make a difference. And so the other kids that we had was a little 2-year-old girl. Oh my gosh. She just barely 2 and a half. She could talk so well, and I couldn't believe she already had these great manners. Can I have a drink, please? She's so cute. You'll see her picture in the magazine. And then her 6-year-old brother, you know, he was shy. And he was, he would come up to me and kind of tug my shirt. And drinks were a big deal because we were taking outside pictures. And so, you know, it was still hot even though it was the evening. Can I have a drink, please? And just really shy. I'm like, sure. And then we were feeding everybody. He said, can I have more, please? Just really shy and sweet. And I just thought, oh, bless his heart. He's been through so much. But you know what's crazy is that for this little 2 and 6-year-old, I remember the night that we got the call as an emergency placement. We only had this one family that they went to who already had foster children. Because either everybody else said no, they were already full, or they wanted younger. And I'm like, I think 6 is young. 2 is definitely young, isn't it? And so we thought it was just emergency placement, but it turns out our foster family is going to end up adopting them. And so I thought to myself, you know, if we had known for sure they were available for adoption in the beginning, then we would have had other families interested. So we really do need families who are open to both foster care and adoption, who will say, yes, I will love you for as long as you need me to, but then I will also love you forever. And I don't really mean saying that specifically to the kids, but, you know, in their mind, they're just like, yes, I'll love you for as long as I can. And that's foster care. We don't know sometimes how long. They might need us for a weekend, because then safe family member comes forward. They might need us for a really long time, as in the rest of their lives. So these little children, it looks like, are going to be able to be adopted by their foster parents. And so the little 2-year-old, as you can imagine, had a hard time going to sleep. She's kind of bouncing around and she's like, I need a blanket. And then she tried to share a blanket with somebody. It was really funny because I had all the kids in the living room are waiting for their parents because their parents went on a date. But you know, foster parents need to go out on dates and have a little break while somebody else loves on the kids. And so, you know, I turned on the other night, I talked about how to create peace in your home. So first I sing some songs, but that didn't put anybody to sleep. And then they sang a few songs with me, and I asked them, what's your favorite song? And one little boy said, Twinkle, Twinkle, Can We Sing It? And I'm like, I know that one. We sure can. That's Donovan's favorite. He calls it Winkle, Winkle, Whittle, Dar. And so we sang Twinkle, Twinkle. We sang some worship songs. And then it was getting even later, and so I turned on iBethel Worship. It is the most incredible, peaceful, Holy Spirit presence-filled worship I've ever heard. And I've been in church for a long time. And so, like, my whole life. So I encourage you to just download it right on your computer. It's iBethelTV.com. So we'd listened to one of the worship services, and the kids, it was funny, even the teenagers, they kind of propped up their heads so they could see it because it was on the computer. And it was really, really neat that the presence of God just filled the living room, and I was just kind of rubbing their heads, and couple little kids were putting their arms out so that I was just trying to kind of give affection to as many kids as I could because the lights were down. And so I'm rubbing one little kid's hand, another kid's head, another kid's back, and the baby's sitting in my lap. And thankfully, Donovan had gone on to bed upstairs with Chris. And so, because he probably would have been in the middle of everything. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. These kids are so incredible. To have the opportunity to spend time with them one-on-one, just loving on them, just ministering to them. And then, of course, taking pictures that they're going to treasure forever and feeding them and playing with them and doing all the other things we did. But at this time when it was past our bedtime, in fact, a couple of the kids told me, it is past my bedtime. And I'm like, I know, but your parents need to spend some time together. And then one of the teenage girls that I was telling you about earlier, she said, did you think they forgot about us? I'm like, oh no, they went to a movie, they went to dinner, they're definitely coming back tonight. But I thought, oh, they're so precious. But it also maybe showed us not often the parents go on a date. So you know what? That is an incredible way for you to volunteer if that's on your heart. You could be a volunteer babysitter and just have the opportunity to go into a foster home. Of course, you need to go through some training and, you know, there's things you need to do, but to go into the opportunity to just love on some kids, give the parents a time to connect, to talk without kids around, and yet give the kids the opportunity to be loved on someone else. I've been doing this since I was, 15, and that was more than a couple of years ago. Even so, it so touched my heart. But guess what? It's an opportunity I am going to hoard to myself. I will allow you, if you're safe, kind, and wonderful, and the opportunity to get to know some of our kids too, the opportunity to be in the middle of the miracle. It's amazing. So if you're interested in fostering, adopting, volunteering, or donating, the way that all starts through our website, familylinkkids.com. There's an orientation conference call that I hosted. It answers all those initial questions of somebody who's thinking about fostering or adopting. And we have a volunteer podcast on our website as well that you can listen to that Renee and I did, talking about how you can volunteer in different ways to make a difference. And donating, I don't think I have to explain a lot about that. That is sharing with Family Link children your hard-earned money. So if you got a little extra and you're like, you know what, we want to support this ministry, we want to support this show, then you would want to send it. You can donate right there online. You can send a check to our address. Every single bit makes a difference. We are also looking for monthly donors, that people that go, you know what, every month you can count on this. We are in a major fundraising mode for Legacy Ranch. We're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back. So I also love to hear from you. To hear from our listeners means a lot to me. So I'm one of the ones that personally gets the email if you go to familylinkkids.com and go to contact us. And then also, if you're not feeling too fantastic, in fact, Saturday afternoon after the incredible Caleb's Run race, I began to get a migraine, and I think I just done a whole lot in the last few years, and it all caught up to me. And so I was like, oh no, I haven't had a migraine since I started using Ciara for a year. But I didn't catch it in time, and I was starting to feel nauseated, needed to go in the dark room. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I put on an energy balance holographic chip. I already had my energy band on, and then I put a Pure Relief chip right smack dab in the middle of my forehead. I'm like, who cares when you're getting a migraine what that looks like? I mean, it's clear, but still. And did you know that it went away, never developed into the full-blown one? And then I went to the store later, and so I thought, I don't want to wear it. So I took it off. Within 30 minutes, I could feel it coming back when I was in Whole Foods with the kids. I'm like, wow, this is so weird. It really does work. I mean, I know it does, but when you're actually feeling it, it's pretty incredible because your mind can't understand how it works, but it does work. So I was like, okay. So I went back in the car and put it back on, and it went away again. So I'm happy to tell you, it didn't come back Saturday night, Sunday. I was good to go. I don't have time to be down for the count for migraines, and I bet you don't either, or whatever it is, other kind of pain or challenges with sleep, whatever it might be, Ciara can help. I'm amazed almost on a daily basis on what all kinds of cool things it can do. So check out familylink.ciaura.com, familylink.ciaura.com. You can also email me directly for any questions, mariah@familylinkkids.com, and we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Well, welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, also the founder and executive director of Family Link Foster Care and Adoption Agency. Wow, that was a mouthful. And so I'm so happy to be with you tonight. I hope you had an incredible day. I'm excited to introduce to you Sam Rylander, one of our awesome case managers from our San Antonio office. So welcome to Life Matters, Sam.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
You know, right now we in San Antonio are working on, we have requests for a 16-year-old, 11-year-old, and a newborn. And I bet during this show, we're going to have more requests for children who need families from San Antonio. Are you just blown away by the amount of children that need families from that specific area?
On a daily basis, we get at least 8 or 10 emails from the CPS department here, and it's usually for sibling groups of, you know, varying sizes of groups of children. And yeah, it's amazing. Like you go down to the courthouse, and it's just packed. Like whatever, you know, court day you're there on, it is packed. The hallway is always just jammed with people waiting to have their case heard, or, you know, caseworkers waiting to have the case heard because the parents don't show up, or whatever it is. But it's so busy. I am told, and I couldn't tell you the statistics, but I am I'm told that the San Antonio region, Region 8, is the busiest region in the state of Texas, that there are more kids coming into care in San Antonio than in Houston, which is astounding to me, and in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge need in the city of San Antonio, without question.
And, you know, sometimes I think about these, especially this newborn. So they're a little tiny newborn baby, which really San Antonio tends to be the primary city in Texas that we get newborns for in general. And so this little newborn baby, if I walked into a church and said, oh, we're looking for a foster family for this baby, I feel like I'd probably be swarmed. Like all these people would be like, oh my gosh, we'll do it. We'll do it. Don't you think? Like, can't you picture that?
Yeah, well, it's one of the things I always try to, it's a sentiment that I always try to get out in training, is that, you know, the dictate of Scripture is that, you know, you help orphans and widows in their trouble. And I can't think of any Christian out there, any Christian who, when presented with the idea of a child came knocking on your door or landed on your doorstep, or, you know, like what you just described, you carried them into church and said, we need a family to take care of this child, that you wouldn't just be mobbed with people saying, yes, please, I'll do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody that calls himself a believer that wouldn't say yes to that situation. And yet, in the midst of that willingness on the hearts of the people to accept that problem, that never actually happens. Nobody ever walks into your church and says, I need somebody to take care of this baby. And babies are, you know, babies are never left on your doorstep. They're left at the fire department. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your neighbor's house never burns down, and you never have to watch their kid or take them in, take that family in and provide for them while they get back on their feet, or, you know, whatever the life circumstance is that you envision being willing to provide that help. It just never manifests. And yet in the midst of it never manifesting, it happens at least 20 to 30 times a day in San Antonio, alone in San Antonio, and not to mention Austin and Houston and Dallas and everywhere else that there's, you know, a region. Kids are physically put in that position of being in need of somebody to care for them. And the way that the church, I believe, is able now in this day and age in America to meet that need and to have children land on their doorstep is to get licensed and to be in a
exactly.
position that when that child needs the care that somebody calls your phone and it rings. And that's the way to make it happen. There's not another way for it to, because it happens all the time.
Exactly. And the thing is this, that if you are willing, if you're really willing to make that commitment to children, I mean, for goodness sakes, if you have kids, you know, kids are a lot of work, but they're also very wonderful. So if you're willing to make the commitment of changing the diapers, of being there for the, that first tooth that comes in when they're up all night and rocking and holding, can't you go to training for several Saturdays? Can't you get some paperwork done? I mean, it's kind of like when you give birth to a baby. Everybody knows you're going to have to go to the doctor. It's going to be a pain, right? Especially for the woman, but perhaps a little bit for the husband with all the hormone swings and all
no,
that stuff.
I feel
way worse for the woman, but regardless. And then you have the doctor and they draw your blood and then there's all this paperwork, but we just take that for granted. It's like, well, that's just the way it is. And yet sometimes we have people who go, well, I'll take in a child, but it has to be like so easy. And if God just opens the door and puts them on my door, that's my doorstep. That's not how it happens. Just like gravity. If I throw a ball up and it doesn't come down, then that's God. It's like, no, we have rules in life. One is gravity. You throw it up, it's going to come down. The other one right now is the way the world operates is if children are abused and neglected, somebody calls a hotline and they might say, these kids, I just keep hearing crying next door and I've tried to knock, I've tried to break in and nobody's answering. It's been all day. It's been all night. I don't know what's going on. They call the police break down the door, find a baby, 2-year-old and 6-year-old who are barred in the house. This has actually happened. And so then what happens? Then they work with Child Protective Services. And Child Protective Services does an investigation like, okay, well, we can't seem to find any family members. The neighbor said that this couple is estranged from their parents, don't even know who they are. And so neighbor said, hey, we're too busy. I know the kids, but I have too many kids myself. I can't take them. Nobody seems to be able to take them. And so what do? So we call Family Link. Sometimes they send an email to us. But we call Family Link and say, hey, this is what happened. This is their race. They're boys or girls. They look pretty normal. I mean, they'll say they seem to be on developmentally on target and because they've spent the last hour with these kids and we need somewhere for them to go right now. It's truly an emergency. And I can't believe we've had some families, even when they're licensed, they'll go, well, I can't get a hold of my husband for a few hours. So can I call you back like later tonight? No, it's an emergency. Like when you're licensed, you kind of have to plan ahead with your spouse. Okay, what's our kind of our parameters? What are we open to in case for some reason I can't get a hold of you? And let's say it's that we get a hold of the husband because he's at work, but then the wife is swimming for like 2.5 hours at Barton Springs and she forgets to check her phone. We're like, no, it's an emergency. It's like you're on call, like you're a doctor. Like you literally have to check your phone constantly because you never know when we're going to need you, when these kids are going to need you. And so that's what we're looking for, families who are invested enough, who will care and love these children, even though you don't know them. Because, see, I think the difference also is if we walked into church with the kids, people are like, oh, they're so precious. Oh, poor little things. Okay, I'll do it. But if we're telling you about just mythical children, I mean, I don't know what kids will need you by the time you get licensed in a couple of months. I just know there will be some wonderful children that need you. So you have to be ahead of time just having enough care about these children. You don't even know who they are. But to get ready for them. And so that is the key.
What's that?
I said, that's the key. That's it. We got to have people who are forward thinking.
There's always going to be a need. It's, people think, well, you know, there's this set of kids, you know, that I really like them. Like we've got a family that, you know, their neighbors were saying, oh, you know, like they, I'm sorry, let me back up and make this a clear story.
Okay.
Our family has a foster child that is just the most adorable 2-year-old, cutest, well-mannered as a 2-year-old could be, you know. He does great. He's awesome, right? And, you know, for whatever reason, I can't explain the family has said, you know, we're probably not willing to do adoption. We're happy to keep. So they're neighbors, right? They've got friends that live down the road that they see them at the park. The family is like dying to adopt a child, and has said in the past, you know, well, we'd love to adopt this little boy. You know, we'd love to do it. And I said, well, great. Tell them to go get licensed. And you know, they've never come and gotten licensed. But I said, tell them to go get licensed. And if this little boy is still available when they're licensed, you know, and they're an appropriate placement, we can probably get that stuff set up and arranged. If this case goes that way, because it's still up in the air too. But even if he's not, there will be other children that are just wonderful and sweet children coming into care and available when that family is ready to host them or to love them.
Exactly. But they didn't do it, did they?
Well, they haven't. They haven't yet. And, yeah, I mean, I follow up every time I talk to this other family. So did your neighbors ever, you know, take a step forward? Did they contacted us? And no.
I bet what will happen probably is that if he does become available for adoption, of course, I'll have to talk later. I'm not sure why our family wouldn't adopt him. They probably should, but regardless, and it is uncommon. 99% of our families do adopt their foster children, and they're just thrilled to be able to be their forever family if this child should need them. But anyway, so if this, let's just say this child does become available for adoption, and there's a very strong reason why this family cannot adopt him, it has nothing to do with the child, but their personal circumstances, then this family will probably go, oh, okay, I said I wanted to adopt him. We're like, oh, well, now you need to get in line, because we have all these other wonderful families who would love to adopt. They've actually gone through the process and done what's required of them. They're licensed. They're the ones who are going to be submitting their home study. They're the ones we're going to be advocating for to be this child's forever family. You can't just start the process once you meet the child. You need to go ahead and be ready. So that's why you guys who are interested need to get ready now. You have no idea who will be that you need and who also needs you in just a few months. Our next training in the Austin area for anybody, whether you're in San Antonio, Austin, surrounding areas, will be in September. And then we'll have upcoming San Antonio classes in a few months. And so now is the time to get ready. Now, will you pick out, I'd like to hear about a couple of different sibling sets of children that you're responsible for. And let's start off with one who, a set of children who you think, or you know, or who have already gone to adoption. Let's start off with, like, why they came into foster care, what that was like in the beginning, and kind of move us through their story.
That are already in adoption, that have already been
Or on their way, any of those.
Or on
something
their way.
About,
okay. Well, yeah, there's a great example right now, and this is actually, I don't know, it's a fantastic story. We have a sibling group of three children that was placed with one of the families that we have here in the San Antonio area under circumstance. It was when they came into care in late April, I believe it was, of last year in 2010. The oldest was 2.5, a little boy, 2.5, and his 1.5-year-old sister, and they're six. They're all a year apart, right?
Aww.
Three kids. They're all on the hat, and their birthdays are all within like a month of one another. And they came into care in April, and when I dropped the kids, or I didn't even drop the kids off, when placement was occurring, and this is a noticed all you prospective foster parents out there, be ready. Get your cribs now, get your car seats now, whatever it is you said you're willing to take, you be prepared for that to come, because you need to be ready. In this case, the family wasn't ready. You know, they had no experience doing this. They were brand new at it. They'd been through training. They didn't have, you know, their car seats and their cribs. And I got there at like 4:30 in the afternoon, and it's supposed to be like 30 minutes before the kids got there. Well, the kids didn't show up for like 3.5-4 hours. And, you know, I'm sitting there saying, okay, so do you got this stuff? No, I don't have it. But my friends are coming. You know, I've got some neighbors that are bringing all this stuff later tonight. And so they didn't have anything. And the kids finally showed up hours later. And the caseworkers kind of breezed in with the kids, got some signatures on some paperwork, and breezed out again. And I'm standing there with this this brand-new mom, never been a mom before in her life, with three kids who were all very distraught, just confused, beyond confusion,
yeah.
with no idea what their life is. Sorry, you were saying?
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, they're scared. They're probably going, where's our mama? And you know what? It took me a minute, and then I realized exactly who you're talking about. They were found. You know why they were so scared?
Exactly.
They were found in a motel.
I'm sorry?
Oh, yeah. They were found alone in a motel.
They were, yeah, so they might not have been saying, where's our mama, long before CPS came to get them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they were found. The dad in that case, the biological dad, had taken the 2.5-year-old out to go panhandle and had left the 1.5-year-old in charge of the 6-month-old in the hotel room. And their biological mom was at work. I'm putting that in, you know, air quotes with my fingers. I don't really have any
like
idea where
bad
she was. I think
a bad type
she
of,
was at work.
A bad type of work.
What's that?
I said, yeah, a bad type of work.
Right. Whatever kind of work she was doing, she was out at work. And
we're going to take it. Let's take a quick break and let's hear the rest of the story about these. Oh, and there's some of the. Really, we say about all of our kids, but they really are some of the cutest kids ever.
They are so amazing.
We'll be right back. We're listening to Life Matters. Check us out and donate online. Every bit makes a difference. FamilyLinkKids.com. We'll be right back with Sam in just a minute.
For just 1 second, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder and executive director of Family Link, and I'm here with a very special guest, Sam Rylander from our San Antonio office. So, Sam, we were just sharing about some of our awesome kids, some beautiful, precious children, 3 little ones, in fact. So take us back to that story.
Okay, so let's see. I think we left off where kids were just dropped off. Mom and dad had abandoned them, basically not like permanently abandoned them, but gone off to do various things and leaving the 1.5-year-old in charge of the 6-month-old at the hotel. And CPS did a removal for abandonment. And they brought the 3 kids over to this home. And these kids were so full of anxiety. For the next several months, they were terrified of anybody that would come over that wasn't their foster parents. Anytime I would come to the home, they would, one of the little girl, the 1.5-year-old, would hide behind her foster parents, and if you even looked at her, she would just break down crying. And there was screaming and yelling, and there was just the infant, the 6-month-old, he was great. I mean, he was just easy to work with, and he was just a baby, and I don't think he was cognizant of any of his circumstances prior to being removed. But the other two had been in whatever their environment was long enough that it had a pretty serious effect on them. And that story progressed over the next year or so until about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, we had just a status hearing. It was just a regular status hearing in the case. And the kids, over that year and a half, they progressively got better. And they, after about 8 months, she was 1.5 at placement, so I guess she was about 2 by that time, a little over 2. She had stopped crying whenever she would see me or anybody else that didn't live in the home. She was just so anxiety-filled, and where she would actually smile at me and things like that. So she was making progress and doing things, and it was really great. The boy, her older brother, he made a lot of progress, too. He stopped being as angry, they were making good progress. They were doing great. Full intention of the foster parents to adopt these children if the rights were terminated. And the case at this status hearing, there had been some interesting developments that some strange things had begun to happen that had really diminished the probability that these kids were ever going to be reunified with their mother. She had the father of her youngest child, who was not placed in this home. This child was born after the case started. In fact, she got pregnant right about the time of the removal from this fella. The father of that guy, I'm sorry, the father of that youngest child apparently has several children from prior relationships, almost all of which are deceased. She had been, she apparently was unwilling to make the decision to sever her life from his, and because it would be grossly negligent on the part of the entire system to reunify children with somebody who has a history of not allowing children to live.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry?
That's just horrible.
Well, it was jaw-dropping when he... And, I mean, there's people out there in this world that they just... They refuse to take any ownership of any problems. And he let this cat out of the bag at a permanency planning meeting. He's just sitting there and just says, oh, and by the way, you know... Like, just without any sense of ownership, you know, I do have some child-rearing experience, you know, I have other children, you know, 8 of the 9 are dead, but, you know, but none of it was my fault. It was all, one of them, I think, was killed in a drive-by shooting when somebody was coming to try to kill him, and others died of neglect at the hands of their mothers, apparently, because he would just create the babies and then not stick around to help with them at all. So without trying to explain that clear atrocity that has occurred, these kids were not going to go back to her unless she severed her life from his, which she apparently was unwilling to do. But it was not expected at this hearing that she would relinquish her rights. And nobody was talking about her relinquishing, and she just kind of out of the blue relinquished her rights. I mean, we were all very surprised and very pleased that she did it because it simplifies everybody's life when that happens. But she relinquished on these three older kids, and because the fella she's with, his child is the youngest one who was born after the case started and was placed in a different home, they severed that child from the case, and that's still an ongoing case of which these three children are not a part. And so rights have been terminated. And here's the amazing thing to me. This happened about 5 weeks ago. And this little girl would kind of do this thing. And all the kids have kind of had their own little, well, the two older ones. The baby, like I said, was just a baby. He had no idea that he'd been in care anywhere else, his mom and dad, or his mom and dad, as far as he knows, that his foster parents. And he doesn't have any idea that it's any different. But these two children... both have their own kind of like little, not tics, that's completely the wrong word for it, but this, you know, these little personality things that they'll do. And this little girl, like the defining thing about her is you'd be talking to her and she would just kind of drift off into space, into the space next to your head, you know, and just, you could tell you had lost her attention, or if she was still listening to you, maybe she was being extremely defiant about it. But either way, it wasn't, you weren't having an effect on her, right?
That's weird. Mm-hmm.
And her biological mother would do the exact same thing. And she hadn't lived with this woman since she was 1.5 years old, and for a whole year she had been in the care of these foster parents. It's a great home. It's a fantastic people. Just doing wonderful things for the kids, but she would continue to just kind of do this drift off into space thing, and we'd sit in these permanency planning meetings, and I remember specifically the one where the, you know, bio mom's boyfriend or baby's daddy was letting all that information out into the air and making all of our jaws drop. You know, in that same meeting, she kind of did the same thing. I was just sitting there watching her like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't even know if she's hearing any of this, you know. When she relinquished her rights, the behavior and I believe the spirit of these kids changed. This little girl has entirely stopped exhibiting that behavior that I can't even say that it's like a deliberate behavior on her part, but exhibiting that type of behavior where she would just kind of drift off into space, it's gone. It just doesn't happen anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Her older brother was always just kind of sullen in his demeanor, and has now just his entire countenance has brightened and changed.
Oh.
And he's 3.5, she's 2.5 now, and their brother is now 1.5. None of them are old enough to really be aware of their circumstances, that something has changed legally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that their foster parents have even told them, or if it would even be necessary to tell them, hey, you're not going to see that lady anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're so young. They have no ability to be cognizant of what has happened legally, and yet when that legal release of her rights to these children occurred, I believe something spiritual happened and something mm-hmm. was lifted from these kids, and because their entire demeanors have changed. As of then,
and
both of them, and the youngest one, like I said, he's just a baby, has always been, maybe hadn't come under whatever that curse was that was holding his older siblings down. But it's just their entire countenance, both of them, has brightened considerably. A lot of the anxiety that had continued, even though it was much less than it had been, has just stopped. I mean, it's just gone, and that's just, when I'm talking with a lot of my families now, and they're going through issues with the kids, you don't know what it's going to be like in the future. Whatever it is mm-hmm. that you're encountering with this child and their behavior right now, it's not forever, right? These
yeah.
things change, and if it's really, really bad right now, probably in 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be pretty good. And if it's really, really great right now, I mean, that's really great, and I'm going to encourage you to keep it going, but probably it's not going to be. In 2 or 3 weeks, something's going to happen. You're going to run across some problems, whatever it is, but things are going to fluctuate, and just to not be discouraged because right now you don't feel like you're making the headway that you want to be making or the progress.
Well, there's a lot in what you said. One, the spiritual aspect is incredible, and I have heard some similar stories in the sense of, wow, but oftentimes it's because they're older and they understand, and they just, all of a sudden, it's just like this huge relief, a huge sigh from an 11-year-old, almost like this whole time they've been holding their breath, not literally, but that's how they feel, like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And so it's so hard to settle in and settle down and to really feel that, because you, as an older child, understand, like, why should I really settle in here and really receive and accept their love and love them back if I'm going to have to leave? I never know. Like every court date, am I going to leave? Are they going to send me away? And so when they're adopted, it is like their whole body just relaxes, like, oh, whew, I made it through that. And yes, this is my family. Oh my gosh, they really, and the other thing is, do they really mean it? If
yeah.
you are willing to adopt a child and say, you legally are mine, you're not a foster child anymore. I tell you what, I don't know any foster child or teenager who wants to be, quote, in the system. They want to be a regular child. They want to be part of the family. They don't want case workers and managers in and out. They like them, but they don't want to be different. They want to have their own family. And they don't want to have to say in school, that's my foster mom. They just want to say, that's my mom. And a lot
that's
of times
exactly
they
right.
do, but
you know,
still
I,
sometimes.
I hear stories. I'm sorry to
oh, no, go
jump
ahead.
In. I occasionally read stories, like I heard Steve Jobs, who is an adopted child, was quoted when somebody asked him about his adoptive parents and his relationship and with them, and if he ever felt, you know, if he was really part of their family. And he says, they're not my adoptive parents, they're my parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people that come from a background of, and I have no idea how he came into adoption. I don't pretend to know more about his story than just that little quote. People that come into an adoptive circumstance, it's their family. It's not mm-hmm. less than anything,
mm-hmm.
and it's not different. It's they're my family. You know, these are my parents. These are my children. Yeah, so go ahead, carry on. I just felt
and
the
so,
need to interject that.
Absolutely, and we want people to know we offer free adoption. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Free adoption, free college, free insurance. And that's about 80% of our children that we place for adoption qualify for that. The other, and I'm just guessing on numbers, but say 20% is still very inexpensive. It's around like $1,500 per child. And sometimes big discount for sibling groups. No, wait, that wouldn't even matter. So if they're a sibling group, they are automatically free. So about 1500 maximum if it's just a single child. Isn't that amazing? And that's so inexpensive. So money, of course, you've got to be able to support your family, etc. But this whole thing, sometimes people have in their head, like, oh my gosh, it's going to cost like $30,000 to adopt, which is true sometimes for a private adoption. And then you might be thinking, I already have a couple of children. Can I really afford three more children, college? Okay, I'm going to really have to think about this. But we can take care of that. The real question is, will you love and commit to these children? Will you value them and care for them as if they were your biological children? And we assume if you're listening to this show, that means you would value and treat them very well. And so if that's the answer, then we can train you. We can support you. We can license you. We can help you through this process. We can just be thrilled for you. Sometimes we can cry for you if things go wrong. And, you know, but we'll be there with you as a partner in this incredible journey. And so with that family, that was a miracle. I remember 5 weeks ago, oh, this has been up and down. Nobody thought these children should go back to that family that abandoned them. And then you got this boyfriend, somehow had 8 children die out of 9. That's really weird.
That's an atrocity.
Horrific.
I mean, how this
yeah,
guy
that's
is still
like
walking the streets is beyond me.
That's like something 2020 would do a story on. That's like something 2020 would do a story on. I mean, that's
exactly.
Like really weird and sad. And this woman really knows how to pick them. And so she certainly should not be raising children. And we all knew that. And so we've been praying and praying and praying. And these kids were so bonded. And even though they had some of the challenges you mentioned, they also were so cute and precious. And I remember spending time with them at retreats. Not that long ago, we did one at T-Bar M Ranch and their family came. I got to be
they are like, all still cute and precious.
Oh, they are. And but then
they,
were.
They, really, they still are. They're
yeah,
amazing
and I didn't even
children.
Know that they had those little challenges. I never noticed it. And but so that's pretty amazing that but you as a case manager get to know the kids even more as you're caring for them and in and out of their homes more often than I am. And so to know now that they never have to have that life. Now they're just engrafted into this family, into their church family, into their extended family. When you see them with their parents, you would never dream that these are not their parents. You just assume that they are.
Actually, you wouldn't. They actually look.
They look like them.
Like
even
they should be related, you know, or they,
exactly.
They are.
And so now they're going to be. Now you're going to walk them through the adoption process, and that should just be so fulfilling. It's like, oh my gosh, you were there from the beginning, that emergency when they'd never had children before. Like here's three small children under, I think at the time it was actually under 2, so it's like a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old, and a baby, and then now. Almost a year and a half later, this family is just so loving, so kind, have transitioned into parenthood like no other.
They are amazing. They're an amazing family.
And these kids are never going to have to move again. You know, that's a huge reason why we do what we do. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard, but oh my gosh, these kids' lives are worth it. And so if you're listening and thinking you'd like to join us, then it's so simple. Just go to familylinkkids.com, friend me on Facebook for updates, Mariah Wilde Family Link. And while you're on our website, you know, email us, go on there, search around, but tell us, you know, you might say, I'm really interested in volunteering. I'd like to, you know, babysit some of these children. I'd like to be a mentor to some of the kids, whatever's on your heart. And then also you might say, I really want to be a donor. I want to help you with your fundraising. Oh, we so appreciate Shoreline. We just finished the Caleb 5K run this Saturday. That was amazing. And they chose Family Link as a beneficiary. And so we're so excited about that, but we need many more financial partners. Help us help more kids. Help us get Legacy Ranch opened up. That will be a multi-generational community for the elderly to come alongside and love and support also incredible families. Primarily large sibling groups are what we're envisioning because otherwise they'll be separated. And then we'll have big houses, big families, lots of fun, lots of love, lots of care, and then also lots of support amongst the families and with the grandparents. And then people like Sam and I will come and maybe spend the weekend and love on these kids, and we're going to do retreats there and camps. It's a huge vision, and we need a lot more support in order for it to come to pass. But I told God, hey, I'm willing to do my part, and you're just going to have to touch everybody else's heart because this is going to be a group endeavor. So everybody listening is invited to be part of this group to launch Legacy Ranch. Right now, the biggest thing in the way is finances. Other than that, we've got the plan. We've got some awesome families. We definitely have the children that need us. And so it's just a matter of money. hey, if we all work together, we can do it. So, Sam, we just have like a minute left. Share with us what's on your heart. As you see so many kids come across, newborns, one-year-olds, three-year-olds, five-year-olds, I just got another 16-year-old, what would you say to invite others to partner with us?
I would say that that the main thing on my heart as I approach this is the idea of adoption, the idea of giving somebody a home that didn't have a home, of making them be a part of something, clearly is the biblical mandate. I mean, the theme runs throughout Scripture in the New Testament, that we are all adopted into God's kingdom. These children, like in the few cases that I have, you know, I'm extremely perplexed in the few cases that I have where what I described at the beginning of this phone call, where, you know, the family's not really looking to adopt right now, you know, they're doing foster care, which, you know, there's a need for that, and I understand. But then to take those children who have now bonded and then to move them somewhere else, like I still, like I can't explain it. I can't, I guess, vouch for it because I don't even understand it. And the looks on the kids' faces and the testimony that I hear from the children is just the desire to be adopted. And so when you call, when you come and partner with FamilyLink to meet the needs of these kids, the kids' needs aren't fully met until they're adopted. And that's just everything. That's what I would say is the number one thing on my heart with regard to this is providing a permanent, real, loving home, which really means relationship to these children, and be there for them forever.
Because you have two little kids, and so there are some, for some reason, you and your wife, your whole family out of the picture. I bet you can't imagine. You just think your kids are the best. And that's how we think our family and kids are anyways. And so then if they're in a family out there, you hope it's a great, let's say it's a great, wonderful family with Family Link. I bet you would just be floored and you'd be so incredibly upset if you're like, what? You kept my kids for a year and for some crazy reason I can't have them. You don't want to, they think you're their parents. They love you now. They're bonded. But you want to just give them away like they're trash. Like you just don't want to keep them. You want to hurt them. And that's what it feels like. And so sometimes there's might be some good reasons, but for the most part, that's why we're looking for families who won't just, because really you're hurting them. So it's kind of a juxtaposition. I'm helping them because I was there for the emergency and I bonded with them. If you did a good job, that means you love the kids love you. They're settled into your family. But then you're hurting them by making them move. See, we don't want to hurt kids. So we're looking for families who either want to go straight to adoption, and we do have lots of children waiting to be adopted, or who will do emergency foster care but then won't make the kids leave if they need to be adopted. And so that's really what we're looking for. Because I know, Sam, if you and me too, if Donovan had to be somewhere, of course my older kids too, but I'm thinking of, because we've been talking about little ones, I'm thinking about little ones, but yeah. If they could be somewhere for a period of time, especially when they're young, because they think this is my family. They don't even know any different at that point. Like, oh, you're going to have to leave. That doesn't even make any sense. That makes me want to cry. Poor little kids. If this, they think it's their family, and if it can be through adoption, then let's do it. Let's make it their family. And so, and also for these older kids, we know of kids who are crying every day, praying, God, would you give me a family? And so we know that God wants to answer their cry. It might be through you, or it might be through somebody you know at church. You could be a church connector. Oh, so many ways you can help. That's what's exciting. We're not going to be selfish, Sam and I. We're going to definitely let everybody else help us who is interested in some form or capacity. So thank you so much. We are out of time, Sam. I had so much fun visiting with you. We have so many other kids we can share about on another time. But let's get back to helping as many kids as we can. God bless you, listeners. We'll be back with you tomorrow night.